thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
It's time now for Pets Corner, and a resident vet joins us from the Veterinary Service in Crow Road in Glasgow, Kirsten Simpson. Hello.
Hello, hi there.
I should have a fanfare or a canned applause, I think, when you come in. That'll just seem right.
Bit of cheese.
Oh, you'll get that. Righty-ho. Now, we're going to look at a couple of things today, and the first one is... There's been some reports of animals becoming ill and dying, and there's been a bit of a mystery about it in different parts of the country.
Yeah, I was looking through some of the news reports recently, and from word of mouth as well. And I think there's been some cases or suspect cases in the Glasgow area of some dogs being, in quotation marks, poisoned. So whether it's been deliberate or malicious, it's hard to see. I think the ones that I looked up were ones that are dogs that had possibly eaten kind of slug bait and slug pellets and slug poison, which, yeah, obviously they are poisonous, but if you catch them pretty quickly, you can pretty much reverse the symptoms and cure them. So if you find your dog eating something like that, that are usually most of those things are coloured pellets, usually kind of blue or yellow or green. So if you see your dog doing anything like eating something that kind of colour that's in something like a bit of meat or chicken, because some folk put them out to try and kill rats, and obviously dogs come by and eat them anyway, then phone your vets, because if you make them vomit really quickly, then pretty much kind of are okay. It's more when you don't see them eat something and then they start vomiting up green stuff later on, then you worry, because obviously it's been absorbed at that point, and it can cause kind of clotting problems in dogs and be quite serious.
So that's the worrying thing. I mean, I'm going to be looking after Lucas the guide pup
again
this week, actually. And obviously I don't really see very well what he eats, and he picks things up and that, so it's a bit of a worry, that.
Yeah, exactly. For most cases, well, most proper people who are dealing with those kind of substances tend to put them somewhere safe, so tend to kind of put them in a certain kind of container where no other animals are able to get to them. But you get some folk that are a bit lackadaisical and kind of pop them in some chicken or meat and kind of pop them out in the back garden thinking, oh, the rats will get it, or out somewhere where there's seen rats around. So, yeah, it's more the people that are being a bit lackadaisical in their application of the poison can cause problems. But, I mean, it's... they wouldn't see any signs initially. Obviously, some dogs eat it and then get unwell and vomit, and you might see or see they've been quite sick and taken to a vet, so they might see they've been sick, some green stuff up. But it's more when it absorbs into the stuff after 24 hours, then you wouldn't see much apart from bleeding problems. So bleeding gums, bleeding from the eyes, bleeding in the urine, bleeding from the bum. So that's, or even bleeding internally and collapsing, and obviously acute onset of worrying signs at that point as well. So yeah, anything kind of weird or different, or you think something is going on, definitely go to your own vets just to make sure they can do some checks and some tests.
Sounds bleeding nasty.
It is not nice.
Well, while we're on the subject, let's talk about diarrhoea. And
what's
diarrhoea in young dogs. Now, you kind of think with a young dog, it's picking different things up and it's got an upset stomach. When did you start worrying about that?
Yeah, I mean, diarrhoea in young dogs is... pretty much, I tell most clients this to be expected. So usually when the dog starts to go outside after the first after the vaccine course has been finished, you always warn them, you know, they might have a bit of vomiting, diarrhoea, because they're going out and eating everything in sight. That's okay. It's more when it's progressive or not improving after a good few days, because most folk would tend to go, you know, bland diet, some probiotics, like to calm tummy down. But if things weren't improving, then obviously, yes, best take your own vets, because we've had a few puppies that have come from possible salubrious puppy farms and puppy breeders, and they've come with a sort of slightly sensitive tummy which has developed into sort of full-blown diarrhoea, which isn't resolved until we've done quite a lot of expensive tests, and quite a few of them have come over with some bacterial infections. The two most common things that actually aren't bacterial, the two most common things are Giardia, which is a fancy name for it, is a protozoan parasite. So it's microscopic and it lives in kind of mucky environments. So mucky ponds, farm environments actually quite commonly. And you wouldn't see it with your naked eye until you look at the poo under a microscope. You see a small little kind of tadpole type thing zooming around. But it obviously invades the lining of the intestinal tract and makes it very inflamed. So they can't absorb food properly, they have diarrhoea from it as well, and it can then cause other infections too. So that's one of the most common ones that we do see, actually.
So what is the treatment for that?
That treatment is either a long course of a normal puppy wormer, or you can mix that with, it is an antibiotic called metronidazole, but it does actually treat this. They don't quite know how it does, but it does actually treat, it has some anti-protozoal properties as well. So it's there's some tests you can do in the poo and it's quite easy, but it's more making sure it kind of goes away eventually.
Now, we've been warned about resistance to antibiotics in humans. When it comes to animals, is there still the same problem with this?
Yeah, definitely. I think quite a lot of the medics kind of blame the vets for overuse of antibiotics. And I think in small practice, we don't tend to. I think it was more obviously with the farm animal practices, there are quite a lot of I think actually more farmers than anything else, because quite commonly in our practice, small animal, we dispense the meds to the owners, they give it to the animals. But quite commonly in large animal practices, they will have given the farmer some meds to do them some animals for certain things, and they kind of self-treat themselves. So any small thing, they might kind of self-treat rather than sort of let it kind of run its course and nip it in the bud sooner rather than sort of, you know, it could go away on its own. So there have been restrictions on those things over the years. So it's more, as in humans, you wouldn't go to your doctor and demand antibiotics, although some folk do, for a simple cold or a head cold or a throat infection. If it was a viral thing, that's fine, just wait it out. If it was a bacterial thing, yes, your doctors will know and give you the right medication. Same for animals. I mean, obviously, most animals with diarrhoea, as I said, I mean, most of the time it is they've eaten something a bit dodgy or picked up a bug, which is more viral than anything else, like a coronavirus type bug or rotavirus like they do in humans. And if that's the case, supportive care, it'll go away. It'll take some time, but it'll go away on its own. We only worry with young dogs when they've got, like, you know, a bit of a temperature, they're off their food, they have lots of blood in the motions. That's when we would worry. I might investigate into antibiotics at that point for diarrhoea. But for most things in dogs, we would be more overcautious than we used to be for antibiotics because of overuse. And I think some folk would think, oh, diarrhoea, antibiotics, but we're trying to be a bit more kind of selective in who we give it to. And the same for, like, things like kennel cough and that as well, because kennel cough is fairly common. It's a bacteria and a virus that work together. So if it's bacterial, we tend to know about it because they're a bit more unwell with it. So a bit of a temperature and large lymph nodes, coughing so much they can't get food down. And then we tend to give antibiotics, but only a kind of short course, like 5 to 7 days. If it's a viral thing, they're usually pretty much A-OK, quite happy, but quite a kind of harsh, hoarse cough. So we kind of judge it by that as well. Everyone's got different kind of reasonings, but that's kind of what I would tend to judge on, how bad they are when I give meds.
I think I might have kennel cough.
Yeah, me too. I've just had a horrible cold. I'm just getting over the end of it, and it's like, ugh.
Because you do tend to think with animals, with dogs, they're so seldom unwell, aren't they, generally, that you can get a fright and kind of panic.
Yeah, I mean, we do quite commonly get some dogs that come in like once a year for a booster, and that's all they're in for, and they're totally fine, versus some dogs, quite commonly Labrador, surprisingly, that are in every other week for like vomiting, diarrhoea, and most of the time it's self-limiting, and so we don't tend to go for medication. But you do get some folk that come in, like, they've vomited once, they come straight in, which is good. I'd rather have folk like that than folk that leave the dog, like, you know, 2 weeks on death's door. So it's nice to find a sort of midway point. But I mean, if your dog is normally properly stoic, a cast iron stomach, and something is not quite right and you're worried, totally just phone your vets, even for advice, and obviously they'll give you advice over the phone or even get it to come in. But if it's not normal for your dog to have those kind of signs, then definitely phone your vet. Yeah, we won't judge you at all.
Well, if you have got any questions for Kirsten, you can drop them to me, or you can get in touch with Kirsten. What's the web address?
Yeah, we've got a website. If you just search for the Veterinary Centre and look at, like, for the Crow Road one, it tends to pop up with our website, which is going to get redone, we think, possibly soon as well, make it a bit more snazzy. But also we've got the Facebook page as well. Again, just look for the Veterinary Centre and it should pop up with our Facebook page.
And can I put you on call for the weekend while I've got Lucas?
I think I'm actually off this weekend, sorry.
Hopefully nothing will happen. Kirsten Simpson, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, that's fine, thanks, bye.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.